Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. It's such a strange day because on the one hand, South Africans going to the vote. There's a very positive atmosphere here in Israel, though Israel comes to a standstill as sirens sound to signal the start of Yom HaZikaron, which is the Memorial Day for fallen soldiers and security services, as well as victims of terror. What events remain today as part of Yom HaZikaron?
Well, I mean, obviously a very solemn atmosphere across Israel, as you rightly point out. Not quite the voting day feeling that you guys have got. And of course, we had the very, very moving ceremony that took place last night at the Kotel in the presence of the president and the Chief of General Staff. The President made reference to the return of the body of Zach Baumel, and he undertook that Israel will not rest until all of those bodies and all of those missing soldiers, missing people have been returned to Israel. And he promised that the state is doing everything that it can in order to make sure of that. And of course, the Chief of General Staff, Aviv Kochavi, was very keen to ensure that people understood that the IDF is ready for any event, that the purpose of the IDF is really to protect the people in the state of Israel, and even though that might come at a very, very high price for those serving members of the security services in terms of the fact that many of them have had to give up their lives in the defense of the land, but that does not deter anybody. And that really was the message that came out of the ceremony yesterday. One of the things that I was really surprised about, because I had no idea that this was happening, is the fact that there's a ceremony that takes place each year, and apparently for the last 10 years under the auspices of the Ministry of Diaspora Affairs. And this is a ceremony that takes place at Latrun, which is the home base for the armored corps, for where the tank brigade, the Shirion. This is a ceremony that takes place for non-Hebrew speakers, effectively for members of the diaspora, Jewish communities from around the world who want to come along and participate. English, the ceremony is conducted in English, but there's also translation into French and Spanish and Russian. And of course, it focuses on to a great extent on those lone soldiers who have unfortunately given their lives for the state. And astonishingly, 6,000 people attended the ceremony yesterday at Latrun. And so it's just something that binds Israelis with Jews living around the world. And I think that, you know, the link is really important at this stage, because even though we feel at times that, or there are some people who feel that security services in Israel are operating to protect Israelis, in fact, that's not the entire truth. The security services are really here to protect Jews around the world, not only those in Israel. We've seen that in the past, where Israeli security services have become involved in events that take place against Jews and Jewish communities around the world. And I think to a large degree, the safety and security of the state of Israel gives to some extent safety and security to Jews around the world, because there's a feeling that there is always the support that comes from the Jewish homeland, and there is a feeling of real responsibility for the safety of Jews around the world. So I think that there is a very, very close link indeed. And of course, that will continue today. Yom HaZikaron is quite a private day in many respects, even though there's so many public ceremonies and people gathering in cemeteries in order to memorialize those who have fallen. It is very, very private in the sense that each of those people, the members of the bereaved families who are mourning loved ones, whether they are recently fallen or those that have fallen many, many years ago, they have their own private kind of memorial and their own private bereavement that they go through. And even though it's part of a much more public event, it is still very, very private. And it was interesting for me to watch the service that took place, the ceremony that took place at the Kotel, where the cameras panned from one face to another, tears in the eyes of the individuals, and one could only imagine what was going through their minds at that point, what they were thinking about the loved ones that they'd lost in the process, because many of those people who attended the ceremony at the Kotel were indeed members of bereaved families. And so one could almost see in their eyes the suffering and the bereavement that they were going through, even those who had lost loved ones many, many years ago. And it was very pertinent that the father of one of the fallen soldiers from only a few months ago was the one to publicly say the Kaddish in front of all of the participants. And it was a very, very emotional moment, as indeed the rest of today will be, until we get finally to sunset and the mood will change entirely.
Is it a contradiction that Yom HaAtzmaut directly follows Yom HaZikaron?
In many respects it is, because, you know, you roll from one emotion to another, and it's very, very difficult to suddenly change gears and to expect people to move from a state of mourning and bereavement and a very solemn moment into what is effectively the happiest day of the year. And yet somehow Israelis managed to achieve that. And one has to be I take my hat off to people who can really do that, especially members of those bereaved families who have, you know, the deepest emotions that they feel on a day like today. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'll have the siren again sounding in about another 2 hours from now, more or less, which will be a 2-minute siren. And we'll begin the ceremonies that will take place at the cemeteries around Israel. But, you know, to roll from one emotion to another, I think takes a lot of difficulty. And yet there is something which says you can really feel the difference between the price that we've had to pay for having our own state and the joy that we feel in having our state, even though the price has been very heavy. And of course, in our religion, we've got this notion of, at being a mitzvah to feel simcha. Some of our chagim demand that we feel happy, that we rejoice, that even though maybe our mood doesn't necessarily support that, but it is a mitzvah, it is a good deed in order to feel this happiness and to rejoice, and indeed that's what we do. And so by the time the sun goes down and we head into this evening when all the celebrations will take place on the streets of Israel and around the parks and every open area that one could imagine, festive stages will be set up with entertainers and food and everything that one would imagine goes with a Jewish celebration. And of course into tomorrow, where all the barbecues will be out and parks will fill up with people celebrating Yom HaAtzmaut. And of course the white and blue will be flying very proudly. Of course there will be the lighting ceremony tonight of the independence beacons by those people who have been chosen, some very interesting characters who have been chosen to light those beacons this evening. So it's a very action-packed time, very a day filled with lots of emotions. But I think in a way, rolling from the solemn occasion to the happiness of Yom HaAtzmaut really brings us it allows us to really feel the difference between the cost of having our state and the joy of having our state. And I think that that is a very pertinent thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And with all of this, tensions with Iran have increased over the last few days. In fact, there was just an alert, a news alert that I received whilst you were talking, in fact, saying that they have pulled out quite significantly or a significant amount from the nuclear deal that they were at least adhering to with the EU. So Iran definitely becoming a problematic once again.
So those actions were kind of predicted, you know, now that it's official. But I mean, we'll take a few steps back, because we know that this U.S. aircraft carrier is on its way to the Persian Gulf right now in order to protect U.S. interests. And we understand from the press that it's Israeli intelligence that has been in operation here and has been fed to the U.S. government about possible attacks that might be carried out by Iran against friendly nations to the United States in that Persian Gulf area, so potentially against Saudi Arabia or perhaps against the United Arab Emirates. It's not exactly clear what the nature of that threat is, but we do know that Israeli intelligence has been involved in identifying the threat, and this in turn has been fed through to the U.S. government. Mike Pompeo saying that the threat is credible, and as a result of which the U.S. government has decided to deploy this additional aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf area in order to show U.S. strength and to warn Iran that any attacks against U.S. property, U.S. interests will not be tolerated by the U.S. And I think that that's going to be an interesting standoff to see exactly how Iran response to that. But as you rightly point out, and as has been expected now for a few days, the Iranians have decided to withdraw from certain terms that have been agreed in the nuclear deal, which originally involved numerous countries, the European countries, I think with the P5 plus one countries, including the United States. The United States, we know, has unilaterally withdrawn entirely from this agreement and does not abide by it any longer. And now the Iranians have said they're going to withdraw from individual clauses of the agreement. So effectively what the Iranians are saying is that they're going to begin the process of low-level uranium enrichment, which they had agreed not to do as a result of the entry into this agreement. And I think that this is really designed to test the response of the European Union to see whether those European countries who decided that they were so intent upon staying in this particular deal, which of course allows oil to be traded from Iran backwards and forwards and commercial activities between Iran and those European countries to continue while Iran agrees not to pursue its nuclear interests. Now Iran is saying we're not going to abide by that any longer and that we are going to pursue at least some nuclear interests, and at least we're declaring that publicly. Who knows what they've been doing behind the scenes, even though the International Atomic Energy Agency has said that Iran has been abiding by this agreement up until now, but there are certainly indications from intelligence agencies that have indicated that that's not necessarily the case. But now Iran is coming out publicly saying we will not be abiding by all of these terms. And so the spotlight falls on Europe now to see how those EU countries will respond to this. This is really a threat. This is the gauntlet being thrown down effectively to see how desperate these European countries are to remain in this agreement with Iran, or whether they might follow the path of the United States and say, we're withdrawing and we will apply sanctions on Iran and we will prevent economic activities taking place with Iran in order to try and put the economic squeeze on. So I think that this is a very crucial moment in the relationship between Iran and the rest of the world. And of course, it affects Israel, because to the extent that Iran is profiting from economic activity, it has the ability to fund terror activities, many of which are directed directly against the state of Israel through Hamas, through Hezbollah, through Islamic Jihad, through other terror organizations. So I think that this is a very critical moment in Iran's relationship with the world in general and with Israel in particular.
Absolutely right. And of course we've seen that in the last few days or in the last week where it was a very, very clear signs that Iran had been funding these terror activities that resulted in the rockets being sent to Israel.
And
to
there's no doubt about that, and they're not shy to say so. So, you know, it just, that's the situation.
We should probably believe them. So. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always.